passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Well, hour has arrived, and we appreciate all of you being here. Fairly normal Monday. Not a lot of craziness. I take that back. The first couple of calls, we had Dwayne and Augie calling for BK's head. But other than that, it's been pretty calm. I thought of this guy Saturday when Pete Golding was giving up a record as a defensive coordinator at Ole Miss. And legend, before you even say hello, I thought Bill O'Brien, last year's coordinator at Alabama, 3 points in the worst loss in Bill Belichick's career, and Pete Golding got torched for 700 yards or whatever it was. Good afternoon. Great to have you on.
Thank you, my black cat, brother. I appreciate it, man. Boy, I bet Ole Miss is feeling really good about that hire this morning. I warned them, didn't I, Paul? Did I try to tell them, brother? Didn't we both try to tell Lane Kiffin not to make that move? But at the same time, we appreciated the hell out of it, didn't we?
Yes.
I mean, the guy gave up 49 points and like 700 yards. How you do that? You suck. That's how you do that. That's how you do that, Pete Golden. You cost us a nasty.
Hey, legend. Let me jump in. Is there some way you could alter your phone? We're getting like double. Yeah, we're hearing you twice.
How about now, Paul?
How about now? Sounds great.
All right. As I said, Pete Golden gave up 700 yards, 49 points. Man, the dude cost us a national championship last year, Paul. It's just pathetic, man. We warned Lane Kiffin not to make that move. We warned him, Paul. Me and you warned him. You asked, Paul, didn't you ask, why did Lane Kiffin go for the touchdown instead of the field goal? Didn't you ask that? Wasn't that your question?
I think so.
I'm going to tell you why. He looked over and seen Pete Golden. Did you see the look on Lane's face in the fourth quarter? He was like, damn, how did I give this man? He robbed Alabama. Now he's robbing Ole Miss. I mean, give back some of that money, Pete Golden. That's pathetic, man. Congratulations to Ole Miss. And, Paul, I'd like to give you my top four legendary thoughts of the week, if I could.
Please do.
Legendary thought number one. Number four, the great Brian Kelly. Year two, just got smelly. Woo! That's right. I warned him, Brian Kelly. Notre Dame fans warned him. Everybody warned him. He just ain't that great a coach. He's a good coach. He's just not a great coach. And when you're not a great coach in the SEC, you got a problem, brother. I came on here last week, Paul, did I not, and tell you that Brian Kelly is a tripper. And you said a day tripper. You remember that conversation?
Vaguely.
Well, he tripped, brother. Not only did he trip, but he stumbled and he fell right on his face. Dude, you just ain't got it, Brian Kelly. And I've been trying to tell LSU fans from the beginning, this guy is never going to win a national championship. He'll get you 9 or 10 wins, but is that really what you want? Is that really what you want, LSU fans? Legendary thought number three, Billy Ball is headed for a fall. Florida, what's up with you Florida fans? Are you really going to accept 1-7 in your last 8 road games? Kelly Kitchens, Pelham Gator, where y'all at? Is this what y'all been reduced to? I heard this idiot get on television and say, you're either really close to being a good team or you're really close to being an average team. Let me tell you something, dude. You're a long way from being a good team, but you are really, really close to being an average team, Billy Napier. You are in over your head, dude. Get off the boat. Get out of the conference. It's only going to get worse. I got one word for you, Florida. Dion. Do it sooner than later. Legendary thought number two, the Georgia Bulldogs. Woo! -14.5. Smelly fish. Everybody said that fish smells. Now, Vegas knew what I knew. All your great players are in the NFL now, and you got a bunch of fourth and fifth round draft picks playing for you right now. Number one in the country. That's a complete joke. You're not even a top five team, Georgia. That's pathetic, having to play Auburn, the worst team in the SEC West, that's not probably going to win a game all year, having to have Brock Bowers put on his Superman cape and bail y'all out. It's only a matter of time, baby. It's slip, slide, in a way. Slip, slide, in a way. Yep, it's slip, slide, in a way, Georgia. It's only a matter of time before you're exposed for what you are. Not the champion you were last year. It's over, Georgia. Only your weak-ass schedule's preventing the whole nation knowing what I already know. Legendary thought number one. Thank you, Miss Terry.
Miss Terry saves the season.
She saved the season, the first lady of Alabama football. Oh, we love you, Miss Terry. We love you so much. You finally snapped him back to reality. Now Crazy Nick is back. He don't know karate, but he knows crazy. Nick, Crazy Nick is back. Insane Nick is back. That's what we love, Coach Saban. Even if we lose, if you go insane, we can live with it. We just can't live with passive Nick no more. Thank you, Miss Terry. You slapped him. You whacked him. You whatever you did to him. But you woke him up, and insane Nick is back. And when Nick snaps, Alabama football snaps, baby. And we're snapping. The identity's coming clear. That running team, that defense. I told you last week, it reminds me of that 92 team. And I'm seeing it. We're grinding it out. We might not throw the ball four times, but we're coming downhill at you. Crazy Nick is back. Alabama is back. Legendary thought number one. Thank you, Miss Terry. You saved the season, baby. We love you. The first lady of Alabama football has saved the season. I love you, Paul. Tell White Trash Incorporated, Jim, I-Man, Jeff, and Augie to kiss my butt. Legend has left the building.
Dr. Bulldog in L.A., good afternoon.
Oh, you got to love Legend. I love his character and his chemistry there with the show. He is right, though. We're not the same Bulldog fan. Bulldog team. As a Bulldog fan, Paul, I'm more relieved than anything escaping Auburn on the road in front of those people in Jordan-Hare with a 7-point win, because I knew 17 points was too much for this team. Last year, maybe, or the year before with the Kobe Dean and Jordan days. But this year's team is different. You know, you can run on us, and that quarterback did. I don't know why they didn't keep number 9 in. He gave us fits. But it is what it is. We're undefeated, 5-0. I don't think it's over, as Legend might have indicated. The schedule might help us, but we still have to play the games. And, yes, I'm looking forward to the challenge of getting that running back from Kentucky. He's not going to run for 280. Can you believe that? That's almost 300 yards from that cat, man. You got to go in Athens. We don't have Jalen Carter or Jordan Davis, but I think Nazir Stackhouse and Trevon Walthor and some of our other guys, you know, special linebackers, they're up to the task, man. But I am relieved we escaped Auburn, you know. Going down 10 and 11 points, Paul, you know, on an SEC contest, 11 points to South Carolina and 10 Saturday against Auburn. It's going to bite us in the ass if we don't start off with these games quick in the conference. You know, we're not playing Ball State or UAB. You know, it's one of those things where it is troublesome. You say, well, the young quarterback has to grow up. And he did, you know, hitting Brock Bowers and some of our other playmakers late. But let's get up to 21-7 or 14-6, something like that, going down the stretch. Kentucky in Athens, there's some concern there, some discernment, if you will, Paul, because it is an SEC game and Mark Stoops has that thing humming. And we only beat them last year with Stetson Bennett on the road, 16-6. In fact, Kirby Smart didn't want Stetson Bennett to throw the rock in that foul weather. This year, with a new quarterback, I wonder what we're going to be. We had to put a receiver at running back, Dylan Bell, Paul, and the spread is 17 again. I don't know what these guys in the desert are thinking. As a Bulldog fan, that's insulting, man, to the opponent. This is a different team. And I can only hope that the coaching staff devises up a scheme so that running back, Ray Davis, won't go crazy. You know, he's putting up Tony Dorsett or Earl Campbell numbers, you know. It's one of those things where, you know, as a fan, you escaped Auburn. Now let's see what they bring back at the crib, if you will. We're at the house. And, you know, these young cats, they're going to have to step up, man. You know, injuries happen to everybody. I'm not buying that. Put the ball in your playmaker's hands like Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers and Rosemee Saint, you know, the number one receiver. So we'll take it from there, brother. Your take.
I think you laid it out brilliantly. Hey, doctor, thank you. Appreciate your call from L.A. Bear is in Florida. Hello, Bear.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I am kind of disappointed in your attack on Billy Napier. He's been there less than a year and a half. I don't know how many coaches have come into a down program and started winning 10, 12 games when the program was already down. And, you know, I think it was Nick Saban that said that, you know, just leave it to Paul Feinbaum to stir the pot. And that's all you seem to be doing. Jimbo Fisher last year, you had him on the horse with a noose around his neck and was slapping the horse, ready for him to go. Now he's doing okay. But what's this, his fifth year, sixth year? He'd been there a long time and gone through a lot of good recruiting classes. And you just need to give this guy a chance. He's a young guy. He's got a lot of growing to do. And I just hope not everybody in Florida has got the attitude that some of your callers do. We have about 60 games around the country every year. They ain't never more than 30 of them win. And at the end of the year, you got maybe a very few teams that goes 10-2 or 11-1. And it just, there's going to be somebody lose every week. And it's our turn for the moment. Hopefully we'll be back. I've been there during the good years, been there during a lot more bad years, but there's not a single team in the conference that hasn't been down from time to time and most of them have come back up. I'm happy for Georgia, but how long has it been since a team has won three in a row? Few decades, and they might, but I kind of doubt it.
Bear, thank you. Appreciate your call very much.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back in Rattlejaw is up next. Rattle?
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, I have a couple of things for the legend, the mouth of the South, so to speak. Anyway, I believe Alabama is ranked number 10, and I believe Georgia's ranked number 1. I believe Georgia's record is 5-0, and Alabama is 4-1. So I believe that in the rankings, as the voters have voted, Georgia's still number 1. I might have been a little surprised about that this morning when I saw the rankings. But that's okay. That's still where they are. They still got to beat Kentucky this weekend. That's going to be a tough game. I realize that. But you know what? I think Kirby's got the boys where he wants them right now. He's got them locked and loaded and ready to go. We're getting some players back that have been out, which is a good thing. Now, one more thing for legend. I heard a man call in today and sang a song that said he wanted to be your teddy bear. And I'm not really sure what that means. Thank you, Paul. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Joe Rattle. You be well. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, looking good and sounding good as always. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see the Carolina Panthers play against Minnesota.
Yeah, I saw that game, and it will be the last time I watch that team this year, I can assure you.
Man, Bryce Young got sacked more than Martha White. And I'm going to tell you something.
That might be the worst coach team I've ever seen, too.
The rumor here in South Carolina is that Bryce Young has a dog named Toto. And after the ball game Sunday, he went home and walked up to his dog and said, "Toto, we ain't in Tuscaloosa anymore."
Now, that's a pretty sad it's hard to tell whether Bryce Young is capable or not because he's got nothing around him, too.
No, he ain't got no offensive line.
Not to get off the subject, but you see the game Saturday night in Neyland Stadium?
Yes, sir. We got our butts. Y'all did a wonderful job.
Well, I didn't bring it up to rub it in. I just wanted to make sure you saw the game.
Hey, when we lose, I admit when we lose and we lose. And, you know, a lot of folks are kind of disappointed. The Beamer ball thing has kind of gone down here a little bit.
But only three losses.
We're not going to give up. That's one thing about Gamecock fans. We don't ever give up. And get ready. Clemson has to come to Columbia. We're going to whoop their butts again, them pussy cats.
Meow. Meow.
That's a good imitation of a pussy cat. I will tell you. Hey, thank you, Cat Daddy. Ricky is in Mississippi. Ricky's a Bulldog fan, so he's more than happy to listen to somebody else's problems.
I tell you, man. I've been watching the games this weekend, man. It is a topsy-turvy league. Now I don't switch again. I thought LSU was the most complete team. It looks like Texas A&M now. You can look like garbage, and the next week you can look like world beaters. And I know Legend said that Alabama's back, but man, it's Mississippi State, bro. Come on, man.
By the way, that's from a Mississippi State fan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at the game, Paul, they look like UAB out there against those guys,
Ricky,
man.
You know what you just said? Both Alabama and, LSU thought it was a good team because it beat Mississippi State. We found out otherwise.
Yeah.
Alabama's already beaten a pretty good team, so. I don't know. Can you tell me, is Will Rogers still quarterbacking at Mississippi State?
I don't know. He looks like a deer in headlights, man.
I have never seen a player go from a guy that was among the very best quarterbacks in the SEC, and he was.
I just think that transition from a different offense, he ain't getting the playbook. And I kind of wonder, are they just going to give it, let Mike Wright kind of take over the helm for a minute and see what he can do? Because it seems like that offense fits better with him because he's a runner. You know, Will Rogers can't run. He's a good thrower. But if you don't have no offensive line to, you know, protect him, you don't have a running game.
I can't decide what's worse in Starkville, the offense or the defense.
Looks like the offense. The defense may be because they have no secondary.
No.
I mean, the front seven looks undermatched. They don't have the guys like they used to. You ain't got no Jeffrey Simmons, no Fletcher Cox.
No, you're right. I'm really worried about that program this year because I didn't think they would be great, but I thought they would be better.
I think that Arnett has got a lot of soul searching. I think he's going to have to recruit SEC guys and not
But Ricky, how do you change that narrative? Because he hasn't recruited. I mean, he's only been there a couple of months.
Right.
But.
Yeah. I hope that he would. You know, he'd get the job done. I'm kind of patient. Mississippi State fans are, you know, relatively patient. You know, we don't expect to fight for the national championship every year.
Mississippi State has great fans. I mean, they're not like Florida fans.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Zach Arnett some chances. He one thing I like about him, he's brutally honest. You know, so it's just he's simple, you know, and I like that. But I just think that he's gonna have to bring back the type of players, you know, that's in the SEC. He needs big guys up front and offensive line and defense. So we're just waiting to see what he does.
Ricky, thank you very much. J.K. is up next.
Hey, Paul, you're doing all right today, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Paul, you know what, man? When I heard Trump today giving his little speech before going into the courtroom to face his punishment and stand up for his trial, and he talked for about 5 or 10 minutes as being the victim, you know what I wanted to say? I wanted to say the same thing I wanted to say when I heard Legend coming here today.
Legend compared to Donald Trump.
Shut
your
– this is exactly what I wanted to tell Trump and what I'm going to tell Legend. Shut your damn mouth. Because you coming in here talking about the Florida versus Kentucky game as if your TV was broke during the South Florida-Alabama game. Then he come on, he talking about Georgia, which is undefeated and still ranked number one, but his team lost – they stayed undefeated. How long as the number four team in the country? 1 week? I don't think Legend has much room to talk about any team at this point because every Saturday, quote me on this, Paul, every single Saturday that Alabama comes out of the tunnel, they're facing playoff elimination. I don't give a you know what who the team is. Every single Saturday they come out of the tunnel, it's playoff elimination Saturday, especially if it's an SEC West team. So all of that laughing and miscarry this, if you think Nick Saban was mad last week, imagine how mad he's going to be when Texas A&M beats that butt Saturday. And it's going to be a long, 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 long weekend for old Gary. So next time, Gary, you look up at old Nick's picture on your wall in your bedroom, Nick is going to look down and say, Legend, I apologize. It's over. Nick, Elvis, and James Brown all have left the building.
Bubba is up next.
Somebody clean out the building. Hey, what's going on, Cat Daddy? Hey, Cat Daddy didn't want to talk about Bryce Young last week, did he?
He wanted to go after Bryce Young instead of...
Yeah, he could. What's this Bryce Young Carolina Panther crap, man? Come on, dude. Hey, Spencer Rattler spent more time on his back Saturday night than Kardashian's sister. Come on, Cat Daddy. Woo! Hey, everybody in East Tennessee was having fried chicken for Sunday dinner, baby, while you was down there drowning in that palmetto swamp water moonshine. But I tell you what, Paul, that defense looked pretty good Saturday night. And I don't know if Tennessee will be worth a crap on the road at Tuscaloosa or at Lexington, but I don't think Georgia's wanting to come to Neyland Stadium.
No, sir.
What do you think?
I think that's a real opportunity there.
Well, I think Tennessee finally got – they don't look the same as they did last year. It's a different-looking team, but they figured out how to make it work. They got a tough front seven on defense. They got a heck of a running game. And all Joe Milton's got to do is not throw the game away for us. And I think we're going to be super competitive rest of the way. Go Big Orange.
Corky is up next in Fort Worth. Hey, Corky.
Hey, Paul. I'm tired of really talking about Brian Kelly, but, yeah, I told you about him. And Legend was right about him. That dude is trash, man. But, Paul, I want to know, why do you keep act like you're trying to defend that dude? I mean, is he your buddy? What's up?
No, Corky, I'm not defending anything I saw Saturday. I still believe he's a very good coach, and to insinuate that he's not, I think is misreading the situation. He's got a lot of inconsistencies in 2 years.
Yeah, I don't mean he's a bad coach because I really like him as a person, but just like I tell the LSU fan, as a Notre Dame fan, what's going to happen next? He's going to say, I need a new defensive coordinator. He's going to get one. Then in a year or two, I need an offensive coordinator, or I'm going to turn the offensive coordinator position over to somebody else just to make his job go a little longer. The dude is not SEC quality, I'm telling you. But I'm glad he left Notre Dame, and I told you I meant that. But, hey, I got one more question. Where are you going to be this weekend?
We are going to be in Athens.
Okay, I'm going to be at A&M in Alabama game wearing my Notre Dame stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a tough call. We were just in College Station, obviously, a week ago, and It's hard to.
Yeah, and I was in Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean that is a great game, and of course, Kentucky Georgia is pretty fantastic as well.
Well, if you happen to watch the game, the Alabama game, I'm gonna have my Paul Feinbaum sign up, so you'll know it was me. Okay.
I can assure you, Corky, I will be scooting out of there quickly. I have to get back, so I will watch the whole game. Hey, thank you, Corky. Let us know how it went. We'll take a short break. We are back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, McGee started off on Saturday live from Athens, and then SEC Nation.
Yeah.
Stacy is up next as we continue in Birmingham. Hello, Stacy.
Paul, what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
Paul, he'll make sense of it all, so I need you to make sense of this. JK, why is JK? Well, first, let me ask you this, Paul. Miami Hurricane, what is their record this year?
I know they have one win. I assume they have not lost yet, but that could change quickly.
They haven't lost the game. So tell me, why is he worrying about Legend? And why is he worrying about Nick Saban and Miss Terry? Shouldn't you be celebrating your team's record?
Well, you know why? Because he knows that there's not one person on this program that's watching or listening that cares about Miami.
I don't understand it. Miami, I do understand it. I take that back. He knows Miami is not going to do anything. So I just don't understand why he always worrying about Legend and he worrying about Alabama. It's bothersome.
You know what, Stacy? When he calls tomorrow, I will bring this. I will clip this and play it for him. Okay.
Please.
I will. Hey, thank you
and
very much.
And tell him Elvis have left the bill.
I bet it has. Bob is in Norman, Oklahoma. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Paul. I cannot wait until next year to see you at the State Fair of Texas with game day.
I can't either. That is a game I have not been to since the first year of my career, and I cannot wait to get back to it.
That game is split at the 50-yard line. There's orange on one side and burgundy on the other side. So it's going to be a heck of a game for you, and I can't wait until we're with you guys and we're down there.
We can't either. I was with an Oklahoma person earlier, and we were talking about that. And it's I saw where the commissioner is going to go to that game before he goes to the Alabama Texas A&M game. So we can't wait. Next year is going to be one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting year ever in the SEC.
Well, now, Shark mentioned something on a program up here in Oklahoma, and I thought it was really intelligent. He said, when we're on the Texas side of the field, I call a game like a home game, and we're on the Oklahoma side of the game after the 50-yard line, I call it like a away game. So I have never even thought of that.
Shark's a
smart offensive guy.
That is fantastic. Well, Bob, thanks for bringing it up, and we're all extremely excited. Thank you very, very much. John is in St. Louis. So hello, John.
Paul, how are you today, sir?
John, we're doing great. Thank you.
Anyway, I heard your earlier comments about the upcoming game with the LSU Tigers against the Missouri Tigers, and I agree with you 100% on the coach down there at LSU. I just think he's an excellent coach. But I can tell you, Paul, that I really believe that I think the Missouri team this year and a couple of players right now kind of have a little bit of chip on their shoulder. And I'm talking about Brady Cook. And also their wide receiver, this young man named Luther Burden, number three.
He's one of the best players in the country right now.
Yeah, I believe he may be the best receiver in the SEC right now. But I think that that team right now is very motivated to show the country because it's going to be on ESPN, and I think Coach is going to have him ready to play.
Well, John, I mean, I think it's a fair analysis.
Paul, let me finish. This is a statement game for the university, not just for the football team, but for the administration. I'm talking about our new athletic director who's done a super job and also representing our university. It kind of culminates with the entire package that she has sold, including our great basketball coach there, Coach Gates.
AJ is up next. Good afternoon.
Paul. Well, gone, Paul. Was that Jim's brother? I think that might have been Jim's brother or twin cousin or something, you know. I don't know. But, hey, I'd like to start off today with congratulating. I'm going to tell you something. Bubba's been bringing it them last few calls.
Bubba's
now.
A good caller.
Hats off to you, Bubba. Pat on the back. Whatever you want to call it. You've been bringing it, brother. And I've been enjoying your calls here lately. But, you know, Paul, there's a lot of implications on the line this week. A lot. The East and the West and the SEC is on the line. But I can tell you one thing. Well, who would have thought Georgia-Kentucky was going to be a serious game? Nobody. And then you got A&M and Alabama, which, I mean, they both suck anyway. It's going to be a suck fest. But I tell you this, Paul, there's one thing that there is no implication on, and that's who is the worst fan in all the land, and that's augmented reality Augie from LSU. I mean, come on, won't you just drive your ass over there in your little Subaru SUV, Augie, and go to Burger King and get you one of them little cardboard cutout crowns so you can ride around Baton Rouge and you can tell everybody to fire Brian Kelly because you've yet to call in here and explain to us who you're going to replace him with. Your calls are like processed meat at McDonald's and Burger King. Come on, dude. Who you going to replace Brian Kelly with, Augie? I mean, you got all that education over there. Bring some kind of something to the table. Don't just start crying. I mean, I'm pretty sure, Paul, back in grade school, I'm going to tell you what Augie was. He was one of them tattletales. And we all know, Paul, that you was one of them. We know what you was in sixth grade. You was a safety patrol.
I was.
You was. And you was handling things. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm
proud of that. That was one of the most important jobs I ever had.
You probably didn't
walk out with that
turn
stick
into good-looking girls, though, when they weren't doing right.
It's a miracle that nobody got killed on my watch. Remember,
well,
remember
I tell you
those,
what,
like,
I've been waiting for
flags?
A long time to hear.
I had no idea what I was supposed to do. But the good news was there were a lot fewer cars back then.
Well, did you have that little vest, the orange vest?
I had the white strap across my chest. And then, we had like a rain outfit and a winter outfit. The thing I liked most is we got there early and had hot chocolate and donuts. That was my main incentive.
The perks of the job. Just like what you're doing right now, you enjoy the perks of the job. You're lucky enough to get to sit over there by Laura Rutledge. I mean, happy birthday, Laura. I mean, dang it. I mean, how lucky can you be, Paul?
Dang it.
I mean, just imagine if Larry was sitting up there on set beside Laura. She'd look like Daryl over there the other night when he was huffing and puffing like a bulldog, climbed off in the house and had all that salivating at the mouth, dripping from his jaws over there, begging Brock Bowers to come in there and do something. Help us! Help us! How come Daryl ain't called
Rachel
today?
Breaker. Hey, AJ, I hate to run, but we are heading to a break. Get the ringing out of my ear. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.